From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
Right now, Muslims across the world are celebrating Ramadan. Ramadan's the holiest month of the Muslim calendar. It's when Muslims believe the Quran was first revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. And during Ramadan, Muslims fast from dawn to dusk every day for 30 days. That's right, 30 straight days they don't eat or drink anything while the sun is up. It's intense.
I had a friend who worked for the Saudi embassy in Houston, and she's not Muslim, but she went to lunch during Ramadan. She said she came back and she saw one of her coworkers, who definitely was Muslim, crouched behind a car shoving a Big Mac in his mouth. So, and he gave her this look like, don't tell anybody. So even the best of us managed to, you know, slip a little. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Like I said, Ramadan's intense. But as I learned when I talked to a wide range of Muslims, it's also spiritual, peaceful, and when the sun finally sets, delicious. You just heard Austin-based food blogger Sahar Arafat Ray. Coming up, she'll talk about rediscovering her Muslim roots in the wake of 9/11 and observing Ramadan for the first time when she was in her 30s. Later in the show, I go to break the fast with a bunch of cab drivers in the taxi parking lot at JFK Airport. Stick around. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Sahar Arafat Ray was born and raised in Texas, the daughter of a Palestinian father and a Texan mother. We met up in Austin to talk about how she observes Ramadan now and, of course, to eat. So we're here at Peace Bakery and Deli in North Austin. We've got... I walked in the door, I was like, what should we have, Sahar? And you were like, well, they got this braised lamb shake. And I was like, done. This is so good. The braised lamb shake on the rice. We had hummus, baba ganoush.
Yep.
Hang on, I got to take a bite.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a big hummus guy. I love me some hummus.
Yes. Yes, I'm a very strict constructionist when it comes to hummus.
Tell me about that.
Well, hummus in its most basic form is ground chickpeas, tahina, lemon, garlic, and salt in its most basic of forms. Obviously, a lot of people, it's very popular, obviously, now. And a lot of companies like Sabra is the main one, or even just small mom and pop operations, they put a lot of other things in it. And for me, that's kind of an aberration. It's just, no, thank you.
Do you have a strategy for your hummus and pita consumption?
Yeah, you usually want to have more some dip than bread. Let me get some bread here.
So for you, really, like, you're really just using the pita bread as like a hummus conduit.
That is really all it is just a hummus conduit, yes.
I'm with you, yeah.
So it's like, you know, minimum bread, maximum hummus.
Oh, interesting. So what you've done is you've taken a pita and you've split it in half, so you only have a single layer.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of folding it over into a scoop. It's almost like you shaped it like a bugle.
Exactly, and just scoop it up, yeah.
That's a nice technique, I like
that. I became very learned with this as growing up. Yeah, you go to an Arab household, a lot of times they won't have utensils on the table. They'll have everything's eat with bread, or the older school's people.
Right. I got to say, I love the sound of the Arabic language. There's so many words that I really like, but I feel like baba ganoush.
Baba ganoush.
That's the winner. That's got to be the winner.
It is a winner. Yeah, Arabic is very guttural. So is Hebrew. Mm-hmm. They're very similar, actually.
Well, there are so many similarities.
Oh, of course.
Isn't that kind of one of the depressing things about it all?
Yes, it is. Yes. A lot of the foods are very close together.
Yeah. I mean, and halal and kosher are very similar.
Yeah. They definitely have their differences, but they are very similar. You know, salam, shalom, they sound very much alike. You know, there's a lot of words that are very similar. So, yeah, we all come from the same background. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, we're here together today, Sahar.
Yes, we are. It's awesome.
We're going to fix everything right now.
That's right, we should.
Go over these lamb shanks.
Raised in Texas, and my father is of Palestinian origin. He's actually was born and raised in Nablus, which is now on the West Bank. My mother is a native Texan, born in Galveston, Texas, and is German.
So you're born and raised in Texas, in Fort Worth.
Right.
And were you raised Muslim?
No, I was raised in a pretty a-religious household. My mother was raised Catholic. My father was raised Muslim. When he came here, he just sort of drifted away from his faith somewhat. He's always identified as Muslim, but he just didn't practice when he came here. And when he met and married my mother, she wasn't really practicing her religion either. And they just raised my sisters and I very a-religiously and let us forge our own paths as we got older.
And tell me about what role Islam plays in your life now.
For me, it's a really big part of my identity now. For years, I wouldn't really think about it. I wouldn't talk about it. Because unfortunately, Islam has a lot of unfortunately negative connotations that come with it. But as I've gotten older, I've decided, you know what, I'm just going to embrace this. I may not be somebody who prays five times a day. I may not always fast. I may not always keep halal. But you know what, it's a part of me, and I'm just going to embrace it and just take hold. So,
was it something in particular that led you to make that change?
Surprisingly, it was after 2001 that I was so, you know, not only was I angry about what happened.
9/11.
Yeah, 9/11. I was very angry about that because, that was not, we could go on all day about how that's really not Islam, what those guys did. But I was really very angry at the backlash because I felt like we were, as a Muslim, I was almost forced to apologize for this. And it's like, I shouldn't apologize for it because it wasn't a Muslim thing that was done. But it did make me think that, you know what, I really should look into this and actually learn more about my own religion. And when somebody says something that is incorrect about Islam, then I can at least say, no, you're wrong.
And so how old were you the first time you observed Ramadan?
I was in my 30s. I couldn't say exactly how old I was, but I was definitely in my 30s.
Tell me about that. What was like the first time you did it?
It was really hard, and I was really cranky a lot. So it was really difficult.
Were you with your husband at the time?
Yeah.
Because he's not Muslim.
Yeah, I was with
he
my
like,
husband.
I don't know about this whole rediscovering Islam thing, honey.
Yeah, pretty much. We went out to eat the first time, and I'm like shoving food in my mouth. He goes, yeah, don't bite your fingers, you know? It was really funny.
So, Sahar, let's talk about eating at Ramadan.
During Ramadan, what you do is you eat very, very early in the morning, which is the suhoor meal, and you eat that before the fajr prayer, which is the sunrise prayer. You always break your fast with some dates and some water, because that's what the Prophet did, the Prophet Muhammad. And then you go to prayer, and then you can eat. And
so a little something to take the edge off.
A little something to take the edge off, and then you eat. And generally people like to start off with soup because it's something easy on the stomach, usually like a lentil soup or a chicken or seafood, something very light. Move on to salad, like fattoush salad, which is a bread salad, basically. And then you move on to the big stuff. You know, you move on to the sayadiyah, which is a fish with rice dish, or you move on to the mansif, which is the lamb and yogurt dish. And it's an old Bedouin dish. It's very common with Palestinians and Jordanians, and it takes a long time to prepare. And you make a lot of it, it's not a dish you make for two people. It's a family thing. And then eventually you'll get to the desserts.
Right.
Some people will eat all night long and just keep eating until suhoor the next day. Some people will eat until very late in the night, catch a little sleep, and then get up and have their suhoor meal before the sunrise prayer.
Right.
There are no, and I talked to several of my relatives about this, ones that are much more devout than I am, and they all said the same thing, and I knew I was on the right track because I never really associate any specific foods with Ramadan, and they all said, no, we just eat.
Right.
Just eat more of it.
Is your father still alive?
Oh, yes. Yes.
He's still alive. In Fort Worth?
Oh, yeah. My parents are both still in Fort Worth. My parents are both alive and kicking. So,
what does your father think about you now having sort of embracing Islam and getting more into the culture and the food and the language and all that?
He's good with it because for us, it's an appreciation of what he is, I think. He wasn't born in this country. He came to this country as a college student and stayed. So he's been here for over 50 years. But he still retains some of the old ways. And it was kind of fun growing up with that, especially the food. the food part was the best.
Right. That's Sahar Arafat Ray. She writes about food at tartqueenskitchen.com. She also teaches cooking classes in Austin. She can show you how to make the Middle Eastern dishes that she just mentioned in our conversation. She teaches a wide range of other cuisines as well. All the info is at tartqueenskitchen.com. Coming up, I fill a New York City cab full of food and take it to the JFK Airport taxi parking lot at sundown. What could go wrong? Hey guys, two quick reminders. First, we're looking for kids to take part in an upcoming episode of The Sporkful. Kids, do you have a weird food creation you've invented that you want to tell me about? Record a voice memo about it. Include your name, age, and hometown, and email it to me at dan@sporkful.com. Also, another reminder, Sporkful Live at the Taste of Chicago. We'll have Spoon, the band, and a bunch of other amazing guests. It's free and open to the public, Saturday, July 11th, 1:30 p.m. in the Food for Thought area at the Taste. See you there. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. A bit more info for you about how the Ramadan fast works. There are exceptions for people who are young, sick, elderly, or pregnant. Muslims use a lunar calendar, which is 10 or 11 days shorter than a solar calendar. That means that Ramadan moves a little earlier every year. So, like, some years it's in February. But this year, it falls during the longest days of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. So Muslims in Norway have to fast for, like, 20 hours. But some imams have issued fatwas shortening the fast in those areas, often by basing it on the time in Mecca. I wanted to get a feel for the ways different people celebrate Ramadan. So I went to the Arab American Family Support Center in Brooklyn. I talked to a group of Jordanian, Yemeni, and Palestinian American teenagers.
I remember one time when I was younger and I was taking a nap and my sister woke me up and she's like, Nermin, wake up. And I was like, why? What is it? She's like, it's time to eat. And I go to the kitchen, and I'm the only one, and I'm eating. And she comes back, she's laughing at me. And my mom, she's like, Nermin, why are you eating? I was like, Lean told me it was time. She got in trouble for it.
Tell me some of your favorite things to eat at Ramadan for iftar.
Sambus.
Oh, it's like a fried, like almost like a pocket with cheese or different vegetables. Different. And it must be so hard because that's the kind of food, if it's frying, I'll bet your house smells so good.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about the moment before the first bite.
I don't know. I mean, the last minute, it's like a whole hour for me. So I think the last minute is the longest.
But is there also something special about that minute?
Yeah, there is.
It's like everybody goes crazy because it's like you're just waiting. Like it feels like you can't even wait like another minute because like you've been waiting hours, but it's like, it's like, it feels so long. And then once it comes and then you eat, it's not even that big of a deal. You did it and, like, it's over.
Like, for example, yesterday I was working and Sunday is a slow day. And then last, like, 5 minutes, I'm waiting. I have my food, everything. I'm getting ready. And I see this customer, like, 10 of them came. And I was like, seriously, guys? It's time. And then after they left, I went to close the door. I said, close for 20 minutes. And then my boss, he called me, what do you do? I said, man, listen, I'm going to leave this. I want to eat. I'm hungry.
What are some things you can do during Ramadan that you would not be able to do the rest of the year?
The best part is when you stay at night for the whole night.
I think you have more freedom in choosing the food you want your mom to cook.
Like if you don't do your chores, like, that you won't get punished for it. They're like, okay, whatever.
I think it's just because they don't have that much energy to bother you. So that's a good thing.
What's the best part of Ramadan? What do you look forward to?
To be close with God and family and friend in Ramadan because you see all the people you love and around you.
I think the energy is really nice because, like, I don't know, you act in a different way than you were if you weren't fasting. Like, there's no fighting. No arguing.
The best part of Ramadan is get the whole family gathered and eating together.
Sitting together, talking.
Yeah, it's like spending time with family and friends, and it's like you have everybody around you and supporting you. You're not doing it by yourself.
the Arab American Center, I met up with Mohammed Tipu Sultan. He's a Muslim cab driver who works with a union called the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. About half of New York City cabbies are Muslim, and I wanted to find out what it's like to do that job when you're not eating or drinking all day. Tipu and I had a plan. Buy a bunch of fruit and snacks. Bring them to the cab drivers waiting for fares at JFK Airport. Get there right at sundown when it's time to break the fast. Share the food, talk to Muslim cabbies. Sounds like fun, right? Tipu is off duty, so we hailed a cab and the two of us rode in the back. And first thing I learned, cab drivers are used to being in control of the vehicle. So Tipu had lots of opinions about which route our driver should take.
Let me see this a little farther. Yeah, inshallah, the Belt Parkway is good, except the Rockaway Boulevard area has the traffic.
Tipu, you, it's 7:15. You have been fasting all day, am I right?
Yes, I'm fasting all day. That means I ate 3:30 a.m. the last food I ate, and last drink I 3:43, the last minute of the closing time.
Wow.
I drank the water.
How are you feeling right now?
Feeling thirsty and tired and hungry.
Right.
Missing my food.
You now mostly drive night shift or day shift?
I drive a night shift.
So that's about what time to what time?
5 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning.
Every day?
Every day.
Oh my gosh. So for a taxi driver who is fasting for Ramadan, is it better to have the night shift or the day shift?
Easier for fasting if the driver driving a night time. Person who driving a daytime, it is much more realization about the fasting. So whole day he's on the street with this traffic and picking the luggage. So it is a harder day driver to be fasting and driving in a daytime.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Bangladesh.
How long have you been here?
Last 17 years.
And am I right, are you going to school?
Yes, I back and forth. I've been and I try my best, but having family and child is not easy.
So you have a wife and you
and
have...
And I have two kids.
How old are they?
One of them is a year and a half and another one is seven. Falling to seven, yes.
Wow. And what are you studying for?
I got an associate degree in physics and from Kingsborough Community College, and currently I want to readmission in Brooklyn College on computer science.
So you already have a degree in physics?
I already have an associate degree in physics.
Now yes. You're going for computer science?
Computer science.
Is there anything you learned about physics that affects the way you drive your cab?
Oh, that's totally, it is all about physics. Driving a taxi is all about physics.
Tell me about that.
So I see the, observing the speed of the car, and I see the timing, and I can want to take a left turn, and how fast I have to push the gas.
Right. And your brain is deciding how fast do you have to go to get in front of the car that's coming.
Coming.
To make your left turn.
Left turn.
Now, what about the physics of taking the first bite of food at the end of a day of fasting on Ramadan? What is the best angle to put the food into your mouth at? And at what velocity?
That is hard to be counted because my tongue will be with the full of speed. Get it down. Let's get it down. And they're probably biology work. In
right,
that
that's, that's biology, not physics.
Not
that'll
physics.
Be your next degree.
Next degree. That's true.
We got to the airport with our cab full of watermelon, apples, and other treats. But right away, there was trouble.
I'm trying to explain to you, you're not to be in here. I can go call the police right now, and if you don't leave, they will arrest you. That's how serious it is.
I know, we know that's serious.
But no, and obviously you don't, because you keep trying to explain something to me that I already understand.
While Tipu and my producer Ann talked to the supervisor, I snuck away. There's a rest stop building in this parking lot, and there's actually like an outdoor prayer area that the Muslim cabbies have set up in the back. It's a little patch of sidewalk covered with rugs, wedged between an access road and a dumpster. Tell me your name.
Rahil.
Are you Muslim?
Yes, I am, sir. Alhamdulillah.
So, Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is the holy month. We fast during this month.
The time now is 8:03. In about exactly half an hour, you'll see more people to be praying here in this area.
Right.
Breaking the fast.
As a taxi driver in particular, how does it affect you during Ramadan?
Many things. Particularly, this job is demanding because so many other things that come along with the job, like traffic, deal with the customers. But just in general, this is the month in which, you see, God is testing you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. This is a test. Your life that we are here today is a test. Now, during this, we get tested more.
In about 30 minutes, it will be iftar. It will be time for you to break your fast for the day. What are you looking forward to eating?
Well, I will be having a passenger somewhere, so I have my supplies in my cab. The custom to break the fast is with a date. I have a few dates in my cab, so I will be breaking the fast somewhere on the highway with the passenger in the back.
Okay.
You have a nice day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good
luck.
Take care. Can you tell me your name, please?
Sorinka.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Gambia.
And you're fasting for Ramadan?
Yes.
So it's just, what, about 25 minutes?
Until
iftar?
Yeah.
What are you going to be eating?
I'm going to eat something light, you know, coffee, like a little roll. And then after praying, and then I'll eat some, like, rice. That's my main,
should be over there with us.
Oh, okay, sorry. All right. Thanks.
Have no problem.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you.
So the jig was up. We left the food by the prayer area, got back in our cab. We decided to head to LaGuardia Airport to see if there were Muslim cabbies breaking their fast there. But the sun was about to set. It was a race against time. Tipu, you may have to break your fast here in the back of this cab.
So, well, I have my food my wife gave me.
We didn't leave all the food there, did you, Tipu?
No, I have some from my home. I brought it.
Oh, good. So Tipu has taken the lid off of his of his food. He's getting ready. How many more minutes do we have, Tipu?
Let's
check the time. Seven more minutes. Not like you're keeping track, though.
Yeah.
8:24, 7 minutes. You may break your fast in this very cab. I'm sure it won't be the first time you've done that, right?
Not in a first time.
Have you ever broken your fast as a passenger in a cab?
This is the first time. That's the first time I'm as a passenger.
It smells so good. How do you do this to yourself? Why are you taking the lid off? You're releasing the smell. You're only teasing yourself.
Yeah, just... It is also rewarded that you sit in front of the food and still you are not eating, you are following the water of Allah.
So you are supposed to look at the food before. You're supposed to make it as hard as possible, it sounds like.
It is also rewarded when you are sitting with the food. Allah will sing it, how much hard struggling we are doing it.
Tipu, what time is it?
8:30.
Check your phone.
What time is it? 8:31 or... 8:30? Yes. What time is the iftar? 8:31 or 8:32?
It's breakfast already.
Oh, we done?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother?
You want some?
Oh, yeah, I want this.
Shekna, our driver, who's also been fasting all day, just passed back some dates. We literally... it's a party in the car now.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Shekna, how does that taste?
Good.
All right.
After all day spending.
Brother, take this. No, you stay in your left. You stay in your left. Left.
We almost got in an accident just now.
You take this, Annie.
Thank you very much. I'll share that with Anne.
No.
I haven't been fasting. I'll share with Anne. It's okay. You eat. Oh, all right. Thank you. Oh, my God. This is the eggplant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so good. We got like a buffet back here. We got bananas, apples, we got chana, we got some of the eggplant. Oh, man. And Tipu, I have to say, just in the few minutes since we started eating, I can see you're already energized. As he holds...
Yeah.
Tipu just took 2 bites of his banana, passed it up to Chekna, who finished the rest of the banana.
This is a sharing.
Yeah,
sharing,
that's right.
Sure. This is a Ramadan month. Sharing is a reward. Allah will give us a reward. That is participating the food, sharing the food. We understand each other.
And it is cool. Like, Shekna, our driver here, our cab driver, he's from Mali. You're from Bangladesh. You guys have never met before. And here we are in a car together, but you have this common bond.
Yep.
here you are eating out of each other's hands.
Yep.
At 50 miles an hour on the Van Wyck Expressway. By the time we got to LaGuardia, the fast had been broken and the cabbies had gone their separate ways. And anyway, nothing was going to top watching Tipu feed our driver, Shekna, as Shekna weaved through traffic at 50 miles an hour. So thanks for not killing us, Shekna. And Tipu, thanks for sharing your wife's amazing cooking with us. And to all the Muslims out there, Ramadan Mubarak. Quick reminder, kids out there, I want to hear about your weird food creations. Record yours in a voice memo, include your name, age, and hometown, and email it to me at dan@sporkful.com. And hey, Chicago, come see our live show at Taste of Chicago, Saturday, July 11th, 1:30 p.m. in the Food for Thought area. It's free and open to the public. See you there. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheSporkful. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. We get help from Tim Ruggieri. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. And thanks to Rama Issa Ibrahim at the Arab American Center and all the kids we spoke with. Abdullah, Arwa, Hamoud, Leen, Naif, Nermeen, and Osama. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
I'm Leila Padiachi from Cape Town, South Africa, reminding you to eat more and eat better and to eat more better.